Good morning, everyone. You know, today is the very last session of our In the Wilderness series, right? So that's why we made this passage reading, like scripture reading, really long, super long. So you'll remember, yes, before we enter the promised land, we need to read a lot, right? Let's just start by the word of prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you that you've led us all this way so far. You led us through the wilderness, and now we are about to enter the promised land. Lord, before we enter the promised land, we just pray that you continue to train us, to teach us, so that we know what to expect. We know how to rely on you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, before we start our sermon today, let me ask you a question. Have you ever stood at the threshold of a new season? For example, like a new relationship, you know, those who are dating. Maybe a new job, new career, or maybe a new calling. Have you ever? Yeah, I see. Heads nodding, right? You know, when you are at that new season, before you start that new season, you would probably feel very excited, but also very afraid, right? Because at that moment, what we're facing is that, yes, we're going to have a new life, but no, I don't know what's going to happen in front of me. You know, this is really exactly how I felt before we went to Japan in 2016. You know, I knew I should trust and obey because Jesus said not to fear, but to believe, right? We knew that. I knew that. It was there. I knew. But I just couldn't stop looking at all the challenges ahead of me. You know, going to Japan, language learning is difficult. Like, I tell you, like, even now, I still don't speak good Japanese, okay? So language learning is hard. What about our financial needs? We were going to be poor missionaries, and now even worse, we don't even have a source of income, right? So financial needs, who's going to meet that? And at that time, when we go to Japan, we were having no family, no friends around us. We were in a foreign land. So definitely, I have that feeling. Yes, I'm excited because I'm going to partner with God to do mission work. But no, God, but these challenges ahead of me scared me. What am I going to do? You know, a lot of times, we can clearly see God's promise ahead. But between us and that promise, there's a river, the Jordan River, an obstacle, a challenge. And that requires a step of faith that we must make. This is really the situation of the Israelites when we look at the book of Joshua. You know, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they finally reached the border of the promised land of Canaan, right? But before them, there was a flooded Jordan River. And they're not just facing physical barriers, but they also need to prepare their hearts to enter God's promise, enter the land that God told them to obtain, right? So today we're having these three passages from three different places in Joshua. We're going to be looking at God's faithfulness in leading his people, God's power in making his way for them, and also number three is God's call to consecration as we step into his promises. These are the three things that we're going to be looking at. So first one is God's faithfulness in leading his people. You know, it's in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Okay. In Joshua 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. As soon as you hear this, you know it's the end of Moses' era, correct? You hear that. Moses now, he's dead. And now, the Israelites, they're grieving. And they are facing this great uncertainties in front of them. Their leader, Moses, he passed away. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? Is God going to continue talking to them, speaking to them, leading their way? So they don't know. They're in the midst of grieving and uncertainties. And God understood that. He understood that the Israelites, they were going through transition, just like very often we were going through transitions. And at the moment, at that moment of transition, God acknowledged, yes, I understand Moses has passed away. Moses is dead. And he also affirmed his promise. His promise to Moses still holds, even though Moses is no longer alive. So in verse 3, God says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And then continue in verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you see, God's faithfulness is not built on a person. You know, after Moses died, God's promise, God's faithfulness is no longer there. No, it's not true, okay? God's faithfulness is not built on a person. God's promise is based on what? Sorry. God's faithfulness is not built on a person. God's faithfulness is built on his own promise, on his own word. Okay. So Moses may have died, but God's promise and his presence remains unchanged. You know, it's just like a relay race. You know, when we were in Japanese school, in Japan, our boys went to Japanese middle schools, and they have those sports day events, right? So during sports day, you see a whole bunch of races or fun games and whatever things. And one of them is the relay race. You see, it's just like in a relay race, the runners, they have to hand off the baton, right? They have to hand off the baton. When they hand off the baton, the race, does it stop? No, it doesn't. It continues on, right? It keeps moving forward. The baton will keep moving forward, even though it's not the same person. And that's the same thing as God's promise. The leaders may change, but his plan just keep going. God has his plan. God has his promise. And this thing just keep going on, even though the leaders are no longer there. So during this time of transition, God commanded Joshua in verse 6, be strong and courageous. And then in verse 7, he said, be strong and very courageous. And then afterwards, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Have you ever wondered why God would say, be careful to obey all the laws that my servant Moses gave you? Have you ever wondered that? Why didn't he just say, hey, be careful to obey all my laws? Didn't he give all the laws through Moses? Didn't he? Right? So say, if I was at work and my boss told me to tell my staff, hey, tell so-and-so to do this thing, and I tell the so-and-so, right? And if the so-and-so didn't do it, or, you know, if my boss go to the so-and-so, he would probably say, hey, so-and-so, did you do what I told you to do? He wouldn't probably say, oh, did you do what Wendy told you to do? Probably not, right? Because those are God's command. But why would God do that here? Why would God say, obey the law, all the law my servant Moses gave you. Have you thought about it? The reason why God was placing this emphasis on the law being given by Moses was because God is highlighting the continuity. You remember Joshua, he used to be Moses' assistant, right? Joshua used to be Moses' assistant. Of course, Joshua knew that all the laws were given to the Israelites by God through Moses. So here God was telling Joshua that he is not starting something new. Joshua is not starting something new. He's just continuing God's covenant plan. And all he needed to do is be strong and courageous and obey what had been given to him. Okay? So he was told, God said, okay, you are in transition, I know. You are scared, I know. But don't worry, because my promise does not change. I am the faithful God. What I have promised Moses, it will continue. Even though Moses is not here, it will continue. You know, when we face transitions, often we worry, well, what if I'm not enough? What if I fail? You know, it was just like when we were in Japan, okay? When we were in Japan, at the time, our mission, global mission, was telling us that they require us to find a job after 2 years of learning language. And, you know, it usually, okay, say for example, our missionary colleagues, usually it would take them probably 6 years before they can make phone calls. But global mission is requiring us to be able to do all that within 2 years. So, you know, it was actually a lot of treasure. At that time, we were thinking, oh, what if we cannot pass all the courses? What if we would not be able to go through the interviews? What if we cannot find a job? What's going to happen to us? It was really a lot of pressure for us. That was such a heavy burden. To a point that I even fainted on the subway to language school just a week before our final exam. It was just a lot of pressure. But God says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Our confidence is not based in ourselves. Our confidence should be really in his faithfulness. God's promise never changed. His faithfulness never changed. And that's the only reason why we can be strong and courageous when we walk the path. That's the only reason. It's not because we are good so we can be strong and courageous. I tell you, no. No matter how prepared you think you are for the exams, I mean for students, right? No matter how prepared you think you are, at the exam you get worried, you get nervous. You're like, what if I don't get good marks? Right? The only reason why we can be strong and courageous is because God is faithful. That's the only reason. Okay. So that was number one, God is faithful. And number two, God is powerful. So we're talking about God's power, okay? So in chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, now the Israelites, they are ready to cross the Jordan River. But you just heard, right, when our brother is reading the scripture, you heard it. At that time, Jordan River is what? It's flooded, right? It's at the flood stage. It was almost like impossible to pass. Almost impossible. It was raging. So when these Israelites stood at that shore, I really wonder what they would be thinking, seriously. I was thinking, okay, would they be thinking about the stories that they heard, they were told, that their forefathers were led by God through crossing the Red Sea? I wonder if they would be thinking about that story when they were looking at the Jordan River. But, you know, very unlikely to their previous generation. These previous generation, when they stood at that Red Sea, what were they thinking? They were panicking, right? They were saying, why did you bring us here? Are you trying to kill us here? Are you making us dead here? But this generation, what did they do? They didn't panic. They just camped there. They just camped there and waiting to cross that river. You know, waiting is such a difficult time, I tell you, especially when the future is unknown. It really challenges your faith. It really challenges your faith. Our story. After we returned to Toronto from Japan, COVID hit, and all the borders were closed. We were unable to obtain visa to go to Japan. And even if we do have a visa, we wouldn't be able to return because borders were closed. So we had to wait in a lot of uncertainties. We had to wait. And we didn't really want to wait. We really didn't want to wait. We thought waiting was a waste of time. We did not want to wait. Not just that we don't want to wait, but also because it was really difficult to wait. It was really a tough time for us. It was really a tough time for us. So at the end, we were redeployed to Taiwan, but that was another story. But I'm sure when the Israelites, when they were looking at that flooded Jordan River, there must be some negative thoughts that flies through their head, right? I think this is our natural response. When we are waiting, often what we focus is on the challenges and the difficulties that we're facing. Think about Jordan River. It's flooded. The water is raging. How can we pass? And when we focus on that, when we focus on the challenges and difficulties, we are actually enlarge that problem. Do you have a phone? Do you have a Bible? Do you have anything that's in your hand that you can hold up? You see, this is the problem. If I'm just looking at this problem, all I see is that problem, right? Like when you look at your phone, like just focus on that phone. All you see is that problem. You don't see whatever around you. But if this is actually God that you're focusing on, what do you see? You see God. And all the difficulties are blurred. Right? So that's why in verse 3 of chapter 3, it says, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. And verse 4, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. In other words, pay attention to when God moves and just follow his guidance. This. God's guidance. God's word. When we're just following his guidance, when we're just following, we're not standing beside the priest. We're not standing beside the ark. We're not going ahead of it. We're following. We're standing behind. When God moves, we move. If we continue to follow and focus on God, then just like I said, the difficulties and challenges, they blur. They blurred. So when the Israelites focused on God's covenant, then the flooded river blurred. And when they stayed behind the ark, when they not stay beside, not stay in front, they can see how God lead their way. Okay? So God commanded the priest to carry the Ark of Covenant into the water. And when their feet touched the edge, a miracle happened. In verse 16, the water from upstream stopped flowing. And what happened? The people crossed over on dry ground. It's not mudded ground. It's not in the mud. Like people didn't cross in the mud. They cross on dry ground. I tell you, this is a miracle. Or else you try. You have soaked soil. And then when the water drained, the soil will still be wet, not dry ground. These people pass on dry ground. But this miracle happened only after they stepped into the water. Before they stepped into the water, the river was still flowing. The water is still coming down from upstream. As soon as the priest stepped into the water, miracle happened. This is the same thing. We need to take a step of faith. We need to take a step of faith before this miracle happens. It's just like, you know, you go to the stores, right? A lot of them, they have those automatic doors, right? Like, once you step over, it will open. It has a sensor there. You see, it has a sensor, so once you take a step forward, the door opens. The same thing when we are praying and asking God for his guidance. But if we never step forward, do you think the door will open? Right? So it really requires us to step forward in faith. You see, the ark is symbolizing God's presence. God's presence went ahead. And these people, they didn't move on their own. They followed God's presence into the unknown. They followed God's faith into the unknown. And then you will know which way to go. In verse 4, you will know which way to go. Yes, it is unknown. Yes, you don't know how to go from there. But verse 4 says, then you will know which way to go if you follow God's guidance. Often, as human beings, us included, okay, we often want to go ahead or run ahead of God. Because just like I said, waiting is too difficult. It's too tough. Okay. We often want to run ahead of God. But when we try to move ahead of God, it's like trying to push a car uphill without the engine running. You try your best to push the car. The engine is not running. It's tough. You could be exhausted. Why? Because you are missing the power source. So you need God's presence be there to be the power source. And then you follow his guidance. And he will make your way known. You see the miracles. God has power to show you, to do miracles in your life. But the thing is, you really need a step of faith. You really need to follow his presence. Okay, so that's number two, God's power. And number three, you need to consecrate yourself. It's God's call to consecrate yourself. Okay, so now we're in Joshua chapter 5. Now, these Israelites, they cross Jordan River on dry ground. Great! Now, they're all ready to start fighting all the Canaanites. Not. No. God did not tell them to attack the Jericho immediately. God actually told them, hey, wait. You need to get circumcised first. You know, I actually discussed that with Pastor Henry before, okay? I said, you know, this doesn't make sense, right? Like, you are in a foreign land where your enemies are surrounding you, and you have to get circumcised. You know how painful it is to be circumcised as an adult? These are like military age, eh? You know how difficult, how tough, how painful it is? And let alone, you have all the enemies surrounding you. Wouldn't they actually attack you while you are in pain? Why would God tell them to do that? God, are you making any sense? But if we can read Genesis chapter 17, verse 7 to 14. Let me read it for you. Hang on, just let me find that page. Genesis chapter 17, verse 7 to 14. See, I use money to be my bookmark, because where your money is, your heart is, right? So that's a good way. All right. Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 to 14. It says, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So you see the reason why... Ooh, my money is going to fall off. You see the reason why God was telling these people to get circumcision done was because the new generation who were born in the wilderness, they have not been circumcised. So by having them circumcised, God was telling them, hey, I have never forgotten my promise with Abraham. I have never forgotten my covenant with him. Do you want to enter into this covenant with me as well? Do you want to? I want to see that you are willing to get into this covenant and be my people. But are you willing to be in the covenant? God was telling the Israelites that by following my command and be my people, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. That's in verse 9 in chapter 5. Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. God is removing that shame, lifting that off their face. The circumcision was more than a physical act. It was really a spiritual renewal. God was saying that, hey, you are no longer a slave. You're no longer a wanderer. You are my covenant people. So that was what's going on. Before they can take on this promised land, they have to cut off that thing. They have to get into the covenant with God. They have to be God's covenant people. Why? Because they need to consecrate themselves from the world. It is just like before a surgery. Pastor Henry was going to have, he's going to have a surgery in October. But before that surgery, okay, before having any surgery, before having any of that operation, the instruments must be, it must be clean, right? Otherwise, bacteria or whatever other bad things will get into, will contaminate, right? Will contaminate. It's the same way, okay? Before God does amazing things, he calls us to be spiritually clean. He wants us to be set apart for his purpose. And this consecration, this is not just an outward ritual. It's not just something like a ceremony or some kind of thing. Oh yeah, you have to shower 4 times a day to be clean or something like that. No. Okay, this is not an outward ritual. It is really a circumcision of the heart. It means repentance. It means humility. It means obedience. And it means surrender wholeheartedly to God. So this is number 3. God calls us to consecrate ourselves. So you see, today, in these 3 passages, we see from the leadership transition to the Jordan miracles and then to the covenant renewal. We can see God's faithfulness in leading his people. We can see God's power in making a way. And we can see God's call to consecration as we step into his promises. So, brothers and sisters, God is still doing wonders today. Do you believe that? He is still making a way. He is still calling his people into his purpose. He's still calling people into his salvation and his reconciliation and his peaceful rest. Do you believe that God is still doing wonders today? You know, the promised land, it's really not a place where there is no more challenge or hardship. Trust me, this is mistaken, okay? If you think in the promised land you can live happily ever after, I'll tell you, sorry. This may be not what you expected. Why would God encourage them to be strong and courageous? Because he knew they're going to face even greater challenges ahead of them. The promised land is where, even though we face greater difficulties and challenges, we can still enjoy God's presence and rest. That's the promised land. Okay, let me say it again. The promised land is, even though we might be facing greater challenges and difficulties, yet we're still enjoying God's presence and rest. That's the promised land. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, it says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." It is really not the outside environment. Like the promised land is not really just the outside environment, but it is really we know, like it's really where we know God is with us and his presence is with us. And he's leading us. He's there for us. He is there being faithful. Crossing into God's promise, crossing that Jordan, is like boarding an airplane. We know the destination. The destination is the promised land, right? The destination is the promised land. It's guaranteed. But there's still things you need to do. You still need to check in. You still need to go through security. You still need to board the plane. Yes, we know the destination is there, but if we don't continue to walk through however God guided us to, are we going to end up in the promised land? So yes, we finish our In the Wilderness series. We are crossing into, we're entering into the promised land. But my question to you is, are you willing to take that step of faith? Are you willing to consecrate yourself and prepare your heart? Are you? In Joshua 21, verse 45, it says, "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." It's because God is powerful and he is faithful. And because the Israelites consecrated themselves to follow God's law. So let us trust his faithfulness and follow his presence and set ourselves apart for his glory so that all of us, we can cross from this shore to the other side into the promised land. Let's pray. Father God, thank you because your intention for us is good, that you want us to be in your presence. You want us to be in your rest. Father, we know there are like a lot of challenges ahead of us. We know there are, might be difficulties in our lives. But Lord, we also know that you are faithful. You are powerful. You will not leave nor forsake us. And you're always with us. As long as we follow your command. So Lord, help us. Help us to be willing to take that step of faith. Sometimes we might be scared. Sometimes we don't know what to do. But Lord, be there and guide us. If you need to, push us into that step. Thank you, Lord, for listening to our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.